It's Wednesday, the 17th of June, day 88. One of my favourite books is The Dictionary of Biographical Quotation, a vast goldmine of a tome edited by Justin Windle and Richard Kennan. I went to it this afternoon because I was trying to check a story about Dorothy Parker, the celebrated writer, essayist, and New Yorker wit. The story concerns a famous exchange between Parker and Bob Benchley, a fellow member of the legendary Algonquin Round Table. Benchley came to her one day and said, "Calvin Coolidge is dead." To which she famously replied, "How can they tell?" And so on that telling, and with that riposte, Parker goes down in history as a great wit. The story made sense, because nobody could have accused Coolidge, who was the 30th President of the United States, of being interesting. "There were no thrills while he reigned," said H.L. Mencken, "but neither were there any headaches. He had no ideas, but he was not a nuisance." Coolidge had, said another anonymous wit, "the mentality of a small-town Rotarian," which I think was a bit generous. Anyway, Parker's quip did make sense. Many years ago, though, when I repeated the story to someone more learned than me, he told me that the credit had been unfairly earned. For it turns out that Benchley had replied, "He had an erection," but that was deemed too risque for the times, and Benchley's widow went to her grave lamenting the injustice of Parker getting all of the credit when Bob should have had it. So nothing's as it seems, which is why reference books sometimes earn their keep. But the great dictionary of Messrs. Windle and Kennan has nothing at all about this exchange between Benchley and Parker. Worse still, in its entries for Coolidge, it has a different version of the story. It goes like this. When an excited man rushed up to Wilson Misner and said, "Coolidge is dead," Misner asked, "How do they know?" The source here is Alva Johnson, author of The Legendary Misners, and there's just a footnote saying, "also attributed to Dorothy Parker." Now, of course, by this stage, I was sliding down into the wormhole. Who the hell was this Wilson Misner? I never heard of him. The Dictionary of Biographical Quotation had nothing on him. But, of course, Wikipedia had. He was, it told me, an American playwright, raconteur, and entrepreneur. Alva Johnson, his biographer, wrote of him that he had, quote, "a vast first-hand criminal erudition, which he commercialised as a dramatist on Broadway and as a screenwriter in Hollywood. At various times during his life, he had been a miner, confidence man, ballad singer, medical lecturer, man of letters, general utility man in a segregated district, card sharp, hotel man, songwriter, dealer in imitation masterpieces of art, prize fight manager, Florida promoter, and roulette wheel fixer. He was an idol of low society and a pet of high. He knew women, as his brother Addison said, from the best homes and houses." Unquote. The only memorable quote from him I could find was his description of his time in Hollywood, which he described as, quote, "a trip through a sewer in a glass-bottomed boat," unquote, which I'm ashamed to say endeared him to me. But my fruitless quest for Misner in the dictionary had naturally brought me to the letter M, and what should I find there but the extensive entry for H.L. Mencken, one of my heroes. The first entry is something he wrote in one of his essay collections. "The older I grow," it says, "the more I distrust the familiar doctrine that age brings wisdom," unquote. And this, of course, reminded me of Mark Twain, who said something similar. Which then reminded me of an evening some years ago when I was sitting in the garden of the Castle Pub in Cambridge with Dan Clemens, who was then the CEO of a company that my friend Quentin and I had co-founded. Dan was an absolutely fascinating man and an outstanding software developer who'd played a major role in the team that wrote Windows NT, the first proper operating system that Microsoft ever created. We were talking about an event that had happened some years previously, and suddenly unsure about an aspect of it that I thought I had vividly recalled and which Dan disputed, I apologetically repeated Mark Twain's crack about "the older I get, the more clearly I remember things that never happened." Dan grinned and said he figured that's what had been going on in my head. But then he said, "By the way, Mark Twain is an ancestor of mine." And then I remembered. Mark Twain was a pen name. His actual name was Samuel Langthorne Clemens, and I was quoting him to one of his descendants. At which point, I remembered Abraham Lincoln's advice, that it's better to keep one's mouth shut and be thought a fool than to open it and remove all room for doubt.